I've been experiencing symptoms that many of us at this age experience due to hormonal imbalances. And if anyone can relate, I do recommend Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, but it's for any woman that has symptoms of hormonal imbalances. It has been a tremendous help for me. And that the company Happy Mammoth that created Hormone Harmony, they're dedicated to making our lives easier. And that means using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. These symptoms can include night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling exhausted all the time. Yes, Hormone Harmony has helped me with all of these things. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use our code HiddenTrueCrime at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HiddenTrueCrime for 15% off today. Artifact Uprising is a company that John and I have used to preserve our most special family memories for years. Artifact Uprising is driven by the same belief we hold, that everyone has a story to tell, and they tell these stories through premium quality albums and prints. We purchased their signature Lay Flat album 8 years ago for our wedding album, and when our son was born, we purchased the same album again to preserve his milestones. Artifact Uprising now wants to help our gems preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want a photo to hang and display or an album with impeccable quality and design to cherish for years to come, we've trusted Artifact Uprising with preserving our most cherished memories and telling our family story from the moment John and I met. And they encourage you to tell your story too. Through the end of the year, Hidden True Crime listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code Hidden True Crime through December 31st. Many of you have emailed us requesting we continue to discuss the Madeline Soto case. For those new to the case, we do have a few episodes now, two evidence episodes. We recommend you starting there, as well as Dr. John Mathias's initial thoughts on this case. As I've continued to delve further, a lot has been released since that initial episode, and it has been difficult to the point where I've actually stopped several times, not sure if I want to be able to continue researching and investigating this case, but I want to be able to be a voice for Madeline as I continue to look at the details of the police docs. The one thing that is certain is that nobody stood up for Madeline. And so in this episode, we are going to cover a lot of those details, and they are hard. I'm going to read verbatim from several different police reports. So this video is a summary of the evidence and our research that we are going to discuss very soon with Dr. John. And it is a lot. Madeline Soto is a 13-year-old girl from Florida who was reported missing by her mother on February 26, 2024, after Madeline didn't show up to school when her mom went to pick her up. She learned this. Tragically, her body was discovered on March 1st, in a wooded area, and she had been murdered. The last person confirmed to have seen Madeline before her disappearance was 37-year-old Stephen Stearns, Madeline's mother's boyfriend. He actually told police that he took Madeline to school that day, but again, Madeline never made it to school. Through the investigation, law enforcement learned and discovered that Stephen actually never did take Madeline to school that morning. Surveillance footage from that morning when Stephen says he was taking Madeline to school shows Stephen and Madeline in the car, but she is slumped over, leading detectives to believe that Madeline was already deceased. Stephen was also captured on surveillance video that morning, throwing items into the apartment complex dumpster, including Madeline's backpack and her school laptop. During the investigation into Madeline's disappearance, law enforcement discovered horrifying material on Stephen Stearns' phone, images depicting Stephen sexually abusing Madeline. And now at the time of this recording, Stephen Stearns is charged with over 60 sex crimes and the first-degree murder of Madeline, and he is facing the death penalty. We're going to go over what's been revealed through hundreds of pages of court documents released by various law enforcement agencies, specifically focusing on Madeline's mother, Jen Soto, her interviews and statements. And again, if you haven't listened to our podcast episodes or our YouTube video, going over Jen's first two police interviews as well as Stefan's police interviews. We recommend you start there, as well as the initial assessment by Dr. John Mathias. The links to those episodes are in the description of this video. And while Stefan has been charged in Madeline's disappearance, in her murder, and been charged with abusing Madeline, her mother, Jennifer Soto, has not been charged with anything at this time. And as a warning, again, clearly some of the evidence that I'm about to discuss and read verbatim from police docs is difficult, and they're difficult for us too, so please be aware. Let's start by going over some of the documents from the Orange County Sheriff's Office. And because these are facts and evidence taken directly from police docs, I'm going to make sure to read so I get the facts accurate. On February 28th, 2 days after Madeline was reported missing, Jennifer Soto and Stefan Stearns arrived at the Orange County Sheriff's Office and they were interviewed separately. Jennifer was interviewed by a detective with the Orange County Sheriff's Office Homicide Unit and the Orange County Sheriff's Office Sex Crime Unit, two separate detectives. And during the interview at the Orange County Sheriff's Office, Jennifer said that on a rare occasion, Madeline and Stefan slept in the same bed. And rare, I say in quotes, that is from Jennifer. According to Jennifer, the reason this is so was that so she could get some sleep, because sometimes all three of them slept in the same bed. According to the Orange County Sheriff's Office incident reports, quote, Jennifer also confirmed that she and Stefan had been sexually intimate. She was then presented with various images that were recovered from Stefan's cell phone. The first image was a hand placed intimately on a white female. After viewing the image, Jennifer identified this hand as belonging to Stefan. The detective then presented Jennifer with another image of a male's genitals. And again, Jennifer viewed this image and identified it as belonging to Stefan. End quote. The supplemental report also includes a tip that came into law enforcement on February 29th. According to court documents, a woman who we'll refer to by her initials MA, this person, MA, called the Orange County Sheriff's Office and reported that she had information in regards to this investigation. Detectives went to her house to speak to her. MA reports that she came to know Stefan Stearns through working with him at Disney. She explained the relationship became intimate around December of 2022 and ended in May of 2023. MA stated Stefan Stearns told her he still slept at Jennifer Soto's residence and specifically in the bed with Madeline. MA said Stefan Stearns justified this behavior by saying he needed to cuddle with her so Madeline could fall asleep. MA further recalled a conversation she had with Stefan Stearns where he told her that he woke up in the bed with Madeline and was aroused and had to turn around in the bed. MA felt the comments Stefan Stearns made to her about sleeping with Madeline were inappropriate, and she stopped talking to him shortly after they were made. Going further on MA's statements to law enforcement, in a report from the Kissimmee Police Department by Detective Smallwood, it states, quote, on February 29th, 2024, we responded to a residence and met with MA for an interview. MA provided a sworn verbal statement summarized as follows. MA saw a Facebook post regarding the disappearance of Madeline and recognized Jennifer in the post. MA knew of Jennifer because she dated Stefan in the past. The next morning, a friend from MA's job advised her there was an arrest involving the investigation and that the person was Stefan Stearns. MA explained she dated Stefan in the past and contacted the Orange County Sheriff's Office to provide any information that may help in the investigation. In 2022, MA and Stefan were in a brief, intimate relationship. During that relationship, MA would invite Stefan to spend the night with her at her house, but Stefan would refuse. Stefan told MA that he needed to stay at Jennifer's house because Jennifer and Madeline could not sleep without him there. He further explained, specifically, Madeline would not sleep if he wasn't there, and advised he would sleep in the bed with Jennifer and Madeline. MA displayed her discomfort with the sleeping situations, but Stefan continued to live and stay with Jennifer and Madeline. MA ended the relationship not long after finding out this information. I asked MA about their intimate relationship more in depth. She disclosed that Stefan had a tough time having an erection, mainly described one, quote, very weird occasion, where Stefan had her lay face down completely flat, as if she was dead, and had intercourse with her. M.A. said that was the only time he was ever very erect. I asked M.A. if Stefan ever disclosed being sexual with Madeline, but he never did. End quote. Now, going back to the Orange County Sheriff's Incident Report, let's go back to that for a second. A supplemental report details an interview that Jennifer had with a detective, Kevin O'Malley. Quote, on Friday, March 1st, 2024, and let me insert, this is the day that Madeline's body was discovered. So, quote, on Friday, March 1st, 2024, Jennifer Soto came to the Orange County Sheriff's Office and agreed to be interviewed again in regards to this case. I asked Jennifer to go over the timeline of events of the past week and told her that I wanted to start from Sunday and move through the next week. Jennifer started telling me about their day and evening on Sunday, February 25th, 2024. And I'm going to insert here really quickly. This would be the day before Madeline was reported missing. I'll continue now. Quote, their family was having a birthday celebration for Madeline, but Jennifer could not attend because she had just started a new job. Stefan Stearns came to the birthday celebration and brought Madeline back to their residence after the celebration. When Jennifer arrived back home around 10:30, Madeline and Stefan were both awake. And Madeline was getting ready for bed and doing her nighttime routine. Around 11 p.m., Jennifer told them, Madeline and Stefan, that they needed to go to bed. And she advised they, Madeline and Stefan, went to bed upstairs together, and she stayed downstairs in her own bedroom. She remembered that sometime through that evening, Stefan woke up to use the restroom downstairs and then returned upstairs where he was sleeping with Madeline. Jennifer said on the morning of Monday, February 26th, 2024, she was awoken by Stefan coming into her bedroom to get the dog, to walk the dog. She never got out of bed or left the room. She told me she heard noise in the kitchen and originally assumed it was Madeline getting ready for school, but admitted it could have been anyone inside the residence and was not aware whether or not the noise she heard was in fact Madeline. Jennifer told us she did not wake up and leave the bedroom until approximately 9 a.m. on Monday, February 26th, 2024. She left and went to a doctor's appointment and did not return home until 11 or 11:15 a.m. When she did return home, Stefan was back at the residence. He told her he accidentally left his cell phone at the residence when he left that morning to bring Madeline to school, but said that everything went well and described the morning, detailing that Madeline got up early, got ready quickly, and then he told her that Madeline slept, quote, slept the whole way to school. He detailed that he offered her McDonald's multiple times, which was the original plan for breakfast, but that she said no. He also told her he had gone to the vape shop, in quotes, but they were closed. The two hung out at the residence alone, and Jennifer said Stefan was sitting at their computer chair and started talking about updating his phone. While sitting there, he told her that he had just accidentally factory reset his cell phone. Yeah, I do that on accident too. Sorry, I'll just keep reading. Quote, soon after, Stefan told her that he was planning on going out and shopping at a few, quote, gaming shops, and then would return home to go pick up Madeline from school with Jennifer. Jennifer said she stayed at the residence until approximately 2:30 p.m., and Stefan had not returned home. She said she tried calling him, but he did not get an answer. Approximately 10 minutes after she had left to pick up Madeline from school, and you know what, just so you guys know, pick up, Madeline's redacted, but I am filling this in. 10 minutes after she had left to go pick up Madeline from school, Stefan called her and advised he was sorry, but that again, he had left his phone at home. Stefan told Jennifer Soto that while he was gone, he got a flat tire, in quotes, somewhere on I-92 or 192, and described that the tire was shredded and fell apart. Okay. Jennifer then went to school to pick up Madeline, but she was not at school, and she eventually figured out that she never went to school on February 26th, 2024. After reaching out to friends and family, Jennifer notified law enforcement that Madeline was missing. She then called Stefan and verified that he dropped her off for school on that date. He said he did. And after law enforcement arrived, Jennifer and Stefan returned to her residence in separate vehicles. As the night started winding down, Stefan told her he was going to go out and cruise and look for Madeline. Jennifer confirmed that Stefan took her 2022 Nissan Sentra to go look for Madeline and said that he drove up and down 192. He did not tell her the exact location of where he searched, but admitted in the morning that he took her car. The following day, February 27th, 2024, Jennifer said Stefan slept most of the day while she woke up and called various resources to try to help find Madeline. Later in the day, Jennifer said reporters came to the residence to interview them regarding Madeline's disappearance and said that Stefan was awake at the time. Jennifer described a webcam-based interview with the news station Fox 35. She described Stefan as emotional and ugly crying during the interview with Fox 35. The interview moved to Wednesday evening, which was February 28th, 2024. Orange County detectives asked Stefan for his cell phone and permission to search it. Jennifer said Stefan gave his phone to detectives, but then while in the car with her, he began to get nervous about not having his phone. At one point, while detectives were searching their residence, Stefan began using Jennifer's phone inside the car. Jennifer Soto and Stefan were trying to log into his email while using the phone. During the course of the search of their residence, Jennifer said she felt as if law enforcement was honing in on Stefan, and she felt as if they were going, quote, after the wrong suspect, end quote. So she recommended that he get a lawyer. She said they called Stefan's father and said, in quotes, I think we need to get you a lawyer, end quote. Once they realized they could not go back into the residence, Chris Stearns, Stefan Stearns' father, assisted them, Jennifer and Stefan, in getting a hotel room. And according to Jennifer, she began getting ready for bed, and Stefan Stearns immediately fell asleep in one of the beds and was asleep by the time she had come out of the bathroom to go to bed. On the morning of February 28th, 2024, when she woke up, Stefan Stearns was awake and had a cup in his possession. He told her he had gone to 192, which is where he got the cup, but did not tell her that he drove to Northport, Florida, which is where his parents live. During the course of their relationship, Jennifer decided that she and Stefan were not going to work out and said that they needed their own space. Stefan moved to the upstairs bedroom of their residence in June of 2023 and lived in that bedroom on his own until December of 2023 when he moved back in with his parents. Jennifer said she and Madeline have a good and open relationship, but admitted that she tends to share more with Stefan and said that within the last week at the time of this interview, Madeline told Stefan that she had a crush on a boy at school, which Stefan told Jennifer about. Jennifer did not know if Madeline told Stefan in person or via the phone about having a crush on a boy at school. I asked Jennifer how she felt Stefan reacted to Madeline having a crush on a boy, and she said he was excited for her and that it was super cute. We began speaking about the living situation in the residence, and it appeared common that Madeline and Stefan slept in the same bed together, even though they were not blood related or even extended family. Jennifer said that she had a rule that Madeline was not allowed to sleep in the bed with Stefan. Jennifer claimed Stefan never requested to sleep in the same bed as Madeline, but she struggled to maintain focus when she answered the question. Jennifer claimed Madeline asked for sleepovers with Stefan and said she wanted to watch movies and eat snacks, and then went into talking about the three of them staying at the same in the same bed together back in June of 2023. And she would describe that she would sleep on one side of the bed, Madeline would sleep in the middle, and Stefan would sleep on the other side. Jennifer Soto also acknowledged she eventually okayed the sleepovers between Madeline and Stefan. The interview continued in a path as to find out if Jennifer had any knowledge about the current location of Madeline's body, but Jennifer remained steadfast that she did not know where the body of Madeline was, continued to deny all involvement in regards to having knowledge of Madeline's murder, and continued to deny all knowledge of Madeline's victimization by Stefan. During portions of the interview, Jennifer continued to protect Stefan, was questioned about why she prioritized Stefan over Madeline, and even at one point referred to the sex stuff as not evil, but the murder of as evil, evil. This is straight from police docs. The interview eventually ended, but Jennifer did not show the same level of emotion or care in regards to Madeline's ongoing victimization by Stefan Stearns than she did in Madeline's disappearance. It appears to me that she has already accepted that the victimization was happening and her emotion appears fictitious," end quote. That's a pretty shocking description by that detective. So next, we're going to go over documents again by the Kissimmee Police Department. So, and then once again, I'm still going to continue just reading these verbatim from the police docs. In one supplemental incident report by Detective Mark Morris, it states, quote, "On February 26, 2024, at approximately 8 p.m., Madeline Soto, a 13-year-old, was reported missing to the Orange County Sheriff's Office by her mother, Jennifer Soto. Jennifer completed a sworn written statement to Orange County deputies to the following. Jennifer stated on 2-26, 2024, at approximately 8 a.m., that she saw Madeline getting ready for school." So a little insert for me. That's interesting that she stated that on February 26th, the day she went missing, that she saw Madeline getting ready for school. I'll continue. "Jennifer stated Stephen Stearns took her to school and dropped her off close to the school. Jennifer said Stephen dropped Madeline off on Town Loop Boulevard between Town Center Boulevard and Hunters Park Lane. Jennifer said Stephen dropped her off between 8:30 and 8:45. Jennifer stated Madeline never made it to school. Jennifer went to Hunters Creek Middle School around 4 p.m. to pick Madeline up, and she never came out of the school. Jennifer stated she searched around the area and then went to her mother's office but could not locate Madeline." Now, if you are noticing inconsistencies here, you are not alone. This is coming verbatim from the reports, and that's why I am reading all of them, even if some of it feels repetitive, because there are differences between each of these reports, and I just want to point that out. In fact, in a different report, Detective Hunt says, quote, "While completing interviews and after reviewing available information using investigative resources, I noticed that there were several inconsistencies in the information provided Jennifer originally provided Deputy Joseph that she last saw Madeline on the morning of February 26, 2024, getting ready for school at approximately 8 a.m. And in my interview with her, she stated that she last saw Maddie on February 25th around 11 p.m. when she sent Stephen and Madeline to bed together. On February 28th, at 3:02 p.m., Detective Hunt says, quote, "I offered Jennifer a courtesy ride from the hotel that she and Stephen were staying in at the OSCO Central Operations Building. She accepted the offer, and I transported her in my vehicle. During the transport, Jennifer and I had a brief conversation. While speaking, I noted that Jennifer referred to Madeline using the past tense several times when she mentioned her. I inquired about whether or not it was normal to allow Madeline and Stephen to sleep in the same room unsupervised. Jennifer replied this was not common practice. However, she did not have any suspicion that anything inappropriate would occur between the two. Jennifer said she used to be very hypervigilant around Stephen. However, as the years have gone by, she has allowed Madeline and him to be alone because they get along very well." School is back in session at the Mathias house, and having the right food on hand is key to our new busy schedule. Bread and buns are a must-have for school lunches and quick sandwiches, but just because I have my family enjoying bread, make no mistake, it does not mean we're sacrificing our health by loading up on carbs. Hero Bread has completely reinvented the bread and buns that make meals so great, but with a big difference. Hero Bread has 0 to 1 gram of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories. Plus, it's high in fiber, and get this, it contains protein. And now they have something special for your fall sliders. They're sweet, melt-in-your-mouth Hawaiian rolls. They have that sweet, light flavor you would expect from Hawaiian rolls, but without the carbs and sugar. Everyone's a fan of Hero Bread. Give Hero Bread a try. You can get 10% off your order at hero.co by using code HiddenTrueCrime. That's HERO.CO. Use code HiddenTrueCrime to get 10% off your entire order. Enjoy your fall favorites guilt-free. While I love trying new styles, I feel like fashion changes faster than I can keep up. Not to mention, I am not a fan of dressing rooms. These are just a couple of reasons why I love renting many of my clothes. Enter Armoire. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothing for any occasion. I signed up, I took a style quiz, and they offer suggestions that best match me. So whether you're planning a date night, packing for a conference, headed to a black tie event, you have the perfect outfit without facing a dressing room with fluorescent lights. With my Armoire clothing rental, I feel brave trying new styles because I know it's not forever, just a week or a month. And my favorite thing, having someone else do my laundry when I'm ready for new clothes. Right now, our gems can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. And that is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/hiddentruecrime. That's armoire.style. So armoire.style/hiddentruecrime to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Once autumn hits, my wardrobe shifts from bright colors and trendy fashion to a more clean classic look, and quality fabrics matter more once pumpkin spice is on the menu. Luckily, I found Quince. Quince is unique in offering timeless, high-quality wardrobe pieces, but at a price I can afford, like cashmere shirts and washable silk tops priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they're not lowering fabric quality. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use ethical manufacturing practices. I recently just received their ultra stretch wide leg pants and an ivory Mongolian cashmere tee. The total was less than a single fall top I bought last year. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/hiddentruecrime for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/hiddentruecrime to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/hiddentruecrime. Later on in the report, Detective Mark Morris talks about the day that the arrest warrant was written for Stefan regarding the sexual abuse allegations on February 28, 2024. He says, in quotes, quote, at approximately 4:45, I contacted Jennifer in a conference room at the sheriff's office. Jennifer was asked questions about Madeline being missing and the dynamics of the household. Jennifer stated that her and Stefan had been dating on and off for approximately 7 years. Stefan had moved out of the home in the later part of 2023. Jennifer stated while they were together, they would either all sleep in the same bed or Madeline would sleep with her when Stefan was not there. Okay. But when asked if it was normal for Stefan and Madeline to sleep together without her being there, she said yes. Jennifer stated that if she needed a good night's sleep due to her anxiety, she would ask them to sleep in a different bedroom. I know, it's upsetting to read. I'll continue. Quote, Jennifer said she ended the relationship with Stefan because he was a messy person. Jennifer said that they didn't have a sexual relationship because her medications affected her sex drive. I asked Jennifer who drives her vehicle, and she said only her and Stefan. Jennifer said Stefan took her vehicle Monday night because he decided to go drive around searching for Madeline. Orange County detectives had previously shown Jennifer photographs of Stefan's penis for identification purposes. Jennifer did not want to believe that Madeline and Stefan were engaged in sexual activity. Jennifer asked to see the image of Stefan. I pulled out a printed picture from Stefan's Google Drive that showed Madeline with Stefan. And Jennifer said she didn't recognize anything in the picture, as if she was in denial. And by the way, I edited this part myself because I can't even read this. It's upsetting. But what they showed her at this moment, Jen, at this moment, was a Google Drive that showed Madeline being sexually abused by Stefan. That I'll say that much. So Jennifer said she didn't recognize anything in the picture, as if she was in denial. However, she became visibly upset. I asked Jennifer additional questions unrelated to this particular case. I excused myself and told her that I was going to go speak with Stefan. End quote. Later on in the report, so this is continuing. Later on in the report, it mentions the same information again, but Detective Mark Morris states the following about this. So this is Detective Mark Morris now. Quote, I contacted Jennifer in a conference room at the sheriff's office. Jennifer was asked questions about Madeline being missing and the dynamics of the household. Jennifer stated her and Stefan had been dating on and off for approximately 7 years. Stefan had moved out of the home in the later part of 2023, so November to December. Jennifer stated while they were together, they would all sleep in the same bed, or Madeline would sleep with her when Stefan was not there. When asked if it was normal for Stefan and Madeline to sleep together without her being there, she said yes. Jennifer stated if she needed a good night's sleep due to her anxiety, she would ask them to sleep in a different bedroom. Jennifer stated she was woken up the next morning by Stefan attempting to put a leash on their dog. Okay. Stefan told Jennifer to go back to bed because he would take care of walking the dog, so Jennifer went back to sleep. Jennifer stated Madeline must have gotten dressed for school in her room because her phone was left on the nightstand. Jennifer stated Stefan said he was impressed on how quickly they were able to get out of the house to go to school. Stefan told Jennifer that Madeline was asleep most of the ride to school. However, he was still able to ask her about eating at McDonald's, according to Stefan. Jennifer stated they recently ended their relationship and he moved back to Northport, Florida to stay with his parents. Then it says, quote, on February 29th, 2024, at approximately 5 p.m., we contacted Jennifer. I advised Jennifer that our crime scene technicians were there to collect additional items that were seen in Stefan's photographs. Jennifer confirmed on the morning of 2/26/2024, she was woken up by Stefan trying to put a leash on their dog. Jennifer got up and Stefan told her not to worry about it and go back to sleep. Jennifer said she doesn't remember Stefan coming back in to tell her goodbye or saying goodbye to Madeline. I asked her about writing a statement in Orange County deputies about seeing Madeline on the morning of 2/26/2024. And Jennifer stated that she wanted to believe she saw Madeline, but she actually did not see Madeline. Jennifer said Madeline picked out clothes to wear on the evening of 2/25/2024. I asked Jennifer to explain her and Stefan's sex life, which she described as vanilla, that Stefan would want to have sex with Jennifer, but she said she didn't want to. We later spoke about what medication Madeline was taking. Jennifer stated that Madeline was taking 20 milligrams of Adderall, 25 milligrams of hydroxyzine, which was a sleeping medication, and anxiety medication, and Miralax for constipation. I asked Jennifer, what is her morning routine with Madeline? She said that she made sure Madeline had her school items ready while making her breakfast and lunch. Jennifer said that she made sure Madeline takes her medications before school, then she would take her to school. And Jennifer said her entire life was dedicated to Madeline. When I asked Jennifer about the sleeping arrangements, Jennifer said Madeline would sleep with her most of the time, and when Stefan was there, they would all sleep in the same bed together. Jennifer said when her and Stefan broke up, she could only think of a few times that Madeline slept with Stefan in a separate room. Jennifer said that she didn't feel comfortable with Madeline sleeping with Stefan, and it didn't look right to her. I asked Jennifer when she started feeling comfortable with it, and she said that she never was comfortable with it. I challenged Jennifer about telling them to go sleep together on February 25th, and she admitted or said it was a selfish move because she wanted a good night's sleep. On March 1st, 2024, at approximately 12 p.m., Detective Smallwood and I contacted Jennifer at her residence for a follow-up interview. I advised Jennifer that we would be taking her to the Orange County Sheriff's Office to retrieve her vehicle. I advised Jennifer that I would be taking over the investigation and there would be a press conference this day to announce it. Jennifer asked when I said that if we meant homicide. I told Jennifer we meant we as a Kissimmee Police Department, but that yes, we would be working it as a homicide because we had a strong belief that Madeline was deceased. Jennifer became silent for a few moments and then she started to cry. Jennifer said she had been avoiding the internet because of the things being said or leaked to the media, and it was traumatizing for her. I asked Jennifer where all she had physically looked for Madeline since she had gone missing, and Jennifer said she had not looked anywhere for Madeline because she wanted to be home in case Madeline came home. Jennifer said she had since been staying at her sister's house because she did not want to be seen in public. Jennifer said she had to go out and purchase some small items, and she felt like she shouldn't be outside because of the attention this case had received. Jennifer said she didn't want to end up hospitalized for her mental health. Detective Smallwood asked Jennifer what medication she was using to help her sleep. Jennifer said the bottle said ziprasidone. Jennifer said she had taken it with food, and within 30 minutes to an hour, she was asleep. Jennifer said Madeline would take hydroxyzine for anxiety and also to help her sleep. Jennifer was asked if Stefan had attempted to reach out to her since he was arrested, and she became upset and said no, and it would be stupid if he did. Jennifer stated that we asked her about Stefan's sexual kinks, and she said that she remembered last night that he had an anal sex kink. Jennifer said that she always refused Stefan when he would want anal sex with her. Jennifer also remembered that Stefan would be easily angered and very irritable and negative about things. Jennifer said Stefan would only get angry at Madeline over normal parenting things or if Madeline didn't want to do what was asked of her. Jennifer stated that she had given Stefan the benefit of the doubt when he told her he dropped her off at school. Jennifer said Stefan is a master liar and a master manipulator, and she had recently had this conversation with Chris, Stefan's father. Jennifer assumed law enforcement was looking into Stefan because he was the last person to see Madeline, and she wanted to believe that he had nothing to do with her going missing. Jennifer said once we showed her the photographs, that is when she realized that Stefan was guilty. I asked her what she thought Stefan was guilty of, and she replied, quote, "He's been grooming and abusing my child," end quote. I asked Jennifer if she thought Stefan killed Madeline, and she said, quote, "At this point, I do," end quote. I asked her why she thought that, and she said that we showed her a photograph of Madeline slumped over in Stefan's vehicle. Jennifer said she felt like Stefan dumped her body somewhere, but she didn't know where. I pressured Jennifer on where she thought Stefan would have dumped Madeline's body, and she kept saying that she didn't know. Jennifer became upset and said she would tell us if she knew because she wanted her child back. Detective Morris also spoke to a man Jennifer was previously married to named Stephen, not to be confused with Stefan. So now we're going to talk about Stephen, an ex-husband of Jennifer's. And in the report, it states, quotes, quote, "I asked Stephen how the relationship with Jennifer was when they were together. Stephen states it was good in the beginning, but later on in the relationship, Jennifer began having mental health issues. Stephen said there were times when he would have to care for the household when Jennifer was having a bad time with her mental health. Stephen decided to remove his daughter from that atmosphere, which is when they decided to get divorced. Stephen said he considered Madeline as his daughter due to the amount of time they spent together. His daughter and Madeline would play games online once a month for a few years. Stephen would join the game just to talk to Madeline. Stephen stated he loved and cared for Madeline, even though the relationship with Jennifer didn't work out. Stephen said he thought Madeline was in good hands, so he tried to become friends with Stefan since he was going to be in Madeline's life. Stephen said he visited Jennifer and Stefan when they lived in Northport, Florida. Stephen was playing games with Stefan, which ended in a small argument. And ever since the argument over board games, they haven't spoken since." Board games. Stephen would move to Colorado in 2022. Stephen would keep in contact with Madeline and would inquire how she was being treated by Stefan. I asked Stephen to explain the sleeping arrangements when he was living with Jennifer. Stephen said Madeline would sleep with Jennifer, but he was not comfortable with Madeline sleeping with them in the same bed. I asked Stephen if he had seen any demeanor changes in Madeline. Stephen said Madeline seemed off for the last few years, which he thought it could have been Madeline going through puberty, but it started during the end of elementary school, her being off. Stephen said Jennifer wasn't different, but that she was always trying to figure out her mental health medications. Jennifer recently disclosed to Stephen where a recent medication that she had been taking knocks her out, quote, meaning tired and sleeping. I asked Stephen how he heard about Madeline, and he stated that his wife saw something online. I assume that Madeline being missing. Stephen talked with Jennifer on 2/27/2024, when Jennifer stated Stefan took Madeline to school and made a bunch of mistakes afterwards, like deleting his phone. Jennifer also stated that Stefan and Madeline both forgot their phones when he took her to school. Stephen said that he believed Madeline forgot her phone, but thought it was odd that Stefan forgot his phone because he always had his phone and was typing on it all of the time. Stephen said he wanted to make sure they spoke with Jennifer over the phone because he wanted to hear her voice. Stephen described Jennifer's tone as being anxious if something was wrong. Stephen said they were speaking over speakerphone and Stefan was with Jennifer. Stefan made the comment that he felt guilty because he forgot his phone. and then he accidentally reset it. Stephen couldn't believe that Stefan was saying this over the phone. Jennifer began saying what time she thought she woke up because of the dog, and Stefan interjected and told her that he would take care of the dog so she could rest. I asked Stephen if he knew why Jennifer didn't go to Madeline's birthday party. Stephen said Jennifer's family can be a lot to handle sometimes, and she was starting a new job. He understood why she wasn't there. I asked Stephen if he thought Jennifer had anything to do with Madeline, and he said he doesn't feel like she would deliberately know. And so I read that twice, and I know that doesn't make sense, but that is verbatim from the police report, because she had family that could have helped her with the situation, end quote. The Kissimmee Police Department also discusses how Madeline was found. So here we go to prepare you. Detective Mark Morris says, quote, Captain Lori Mignone and Sergeant Charisse Swan responded to the area that Thomas identified. Sergeant Swan knew the property owner who provided access to the locked gates of the property. Captain Mignone walked towards a row of bamboo trees to the left of the open gate. She located a small body wearing blue jeans and a green sweater. The body had dried grass and hay on top of the body. It was decided by the Sheriff's Office Forensics Unit that they would process the scene. I asked to be brought to where the body was located. Forensic Supervisor Emily Seda walked me to the area where the body was. Based upon the clothing description seen on several videos, the body did appear to be that of Madeline. The lock to the farm was still locked and didn't appear to be tampered with. Stefan would have had to drop Madeline's body over the barbed wire fence or where the gate was, and then move her body to the location where she was found. I contacted the medical examiner's office and asked them to respond to collect Madeline. When Madeline was removed from underneath the dry grass and hay, I immediately was able to identify her by the specific mole she had on her cheek. Madeline showed signs of decomposition to one side of her face and her hands. Madeline was wearing a green hoodie. The hoodie portion was over the top of her head, blue jeans, and white socks. The bottom of Madeline's socks were clean, which indicates that she did not walk anywhere, or the socks would have had dirt on the bottom. Madeline was transported to the medical examiner's office, where an autopsy would be performed the following day. I placed a telephone call to Jennifer to let her know that we had located Madeline and that she was deceased. Jennifer started to cry over the phone and handed the phone to her father to continue the conversation. I told him that I would be in touch with the family in the next day or two. On March 2nd, 2024, at approximately 1000 hours, Detective Smallwood and I responded to the medical examiner's office for Madeline's autopsy. The autopsy was performed by Dr. Stefan Giles. Prior to the autopsy, I examined Madeline's body when it was initially uncovered. I noticed her socks were clean on the bottom, which confirmed my observations when she was located in St. Cloud. During the autopsy, Dr. Giles expressed concern over the hyoid bone in Madeline's neck. Dr. Giles stated that the right portion of the bone was not intact, which could possibly be related to her being strangled. Dr. Giles listed the initial outcome of the autopsy as pending. Madeline's death was later officially ruled a homicide by strangulation. Again, that concludes the evidence that I want to go over today. I know that this has been difficult. And one thing we want to do on Hidden True Crime is lay out the evidence first before Dr. John comes in to explain and assess the evidence. And so that's what this is. Again, as difficult and as dark as this case is, again, there were times where I kept saying to John, and we've assessed this many times, should we keep going with Madeline's case? Should we not? It's been difficult. But we've been listening to your emails and we've been reading the documents, and this is actually something that Dr. John feels really important. One thing he has done for nearly 30 years now is assess criminals, but particularly sex offenders. And we just feel like it is really important to continue covering this case, to share this evidence. And the next episode will be Dr. John assessing what we just read and what we just went over together and what this means, because it certainly leaves questions in my mind. And this is what we've been talking about in our house, is what does it mean, you know, to have Jen willing to let her daughter sleep with the man who ended up murdering her and abusing her? What's happening here? Clearly, Stefan Stearns is behind bars and where he should be, facing the death penalty. But many questions still remain, like how this happened to little Madeline. And it's something that we will be discussing soon, right here on Hidden True Crime.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich. Mm. And a crispy golden hash brown. Ooh. And your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6. All just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.